Well, like most of us, really sad waking up this morning and seeing the news of the legendary, iconic Dick Enberg, who I think if you go back to the 70s and the 80s, there was no better sportscaster than Dick Enberg. NBC did football. He did baseball. I mean, he did basketball, the NCAA finals with Billy Packer and Dick McGuire. He did Wimbledon. He did golf. Dick Enberg was somebody that when I was growing up was just a legendary, iconic figure that you just could only dream of being in the profession that he was. And just very sad. And to hear, you know, how they found his body, he was on his way to Boston to go visit his family and wasn't on the flight. And did you ever have any one-on-one with Dick Enberg?
No, I never had one-on-one, Grant, but I say, yeah, I did have one-on-one because I was in my living room and I had a personal relationship listening to the man, and an absolute honor. When you talk about Billy Packer and Dick McGuire and listening to them call games, and that is when I think about NCAA basketball and I think about my youth a lot of the times, Grant, those are the voices that you heard, and to watch one of them pass away. I mean, 82 years old, obviously he lived a fantastic life. You mentioned baseball, football, basketball, NCAA,
Olympics, golf, go on, tennis.
Yeah,
he was a phenomenal tennis host, phenomenal golf host. He was he did it all.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. And that's in and of itself, I think that speaks volumes to who he was. You hear, heard the G-man, they were talking, Jason was talking earlier that Dick, I guess, has a son that lives around here someplace.
He was at the Kings games quite often.
Yes. And G-man found out that he was there and he ran down and he wanted to see him because to pay homage to somebody in your profession, it's no different than, you know, if Dr. J is in the house or Michael Jordan. And you're like, oh, my God, I got to go say hello. But hearts go out to him and his family.
Yeah, it's really tragic. His bags had been packed for a trip to go to Boston to see his third grandchild for the first time and didn't arrive on the flight. So here, let's listen to some great, great stuff from Dick Enberg. Of course, he and Merlin Olsen were just a legendary duo. You know, he replaced, really, Kurt Gowdy at NBC Sports, who worked with Al DeRogatis, but that Ernest Biner fumble was, again, the pain of being a Cleveland Brown fan after the drive a year before.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, my.
Oh, that's, my.
Man, and we talk about instant replay, and I always try to bring joy to a situation. You hear him say, it's a fumble. Well, let's wait to see what the referee says.
Yeah,
how about that?
I know, right? And, you know, what's interesting, because Dick Enberg worked up until last year. You know, everyone was talking about the retirement of Vin Scully, and rightfully so.
Right.
Dick was doing the San Diego Padres, and that was his last year, too. So basically, Dick Enberg worked as a sportscaster his entire adult life.
Wow. That is just the type of dedication, just since I've been in this, to understand and to do it at the level that he was able to do it at. When you start talking about Vin Scully and all the Johnny Most and all the great, great man. Another great one.
Go. All right, and then, you know, he was a legendary figure at Wimbledon. Here's some more. This gives you chills, you know. And what I was just thinking about, wow, Boris Becker won Wimbledon when he was 17. Think about that.
How about the fact of just the brush strokes that you hear in his voice, how he paints the picture.
He paints the picture.
Exactly. And, man, that is, as a kid, because I watched all that.
Sure.
Anything that's sports-wise, I just love sports. So to hear his voice brings back so many memories. Yeah, 17 years old, Boris Becker, go figure, man.
Well, again, I grew up on the other side of the country, but everyone knew who Dick Enberg was. And, you know, he was such a prominent figure in Southern California with all of the sports down in Los Angeles. I think, again, you know, when I think of the greatest of all time, Dick Enberg is right near the very top of the list. I don't know if there is such a thing as the best of all time, but there were very, very few announcers in this day and age do baseball, football, and basketball.
Right.
All right. Now, back in his era, sportscasters used to do a lot of different sports.
Yeah.
But I mean, and I've always said this about some other announcers. I could have taken Dick Enberg, even at age 82, and had him come visit us last week and go, Dick, come out to the corner over here on Madison and Hemlock. okay, Grant, what do you want me to do? Announce the traffic going up and down the street. And you know what? Dick Enberg would have made it sound like the most amazing, beautiful traffic in the history of traffic. You know,
that's what 72 red Ford.
You know what I mean? But that's what, see, that's what great announcers can do. Yeah. You can take a great announcer and you can say, okay, you know what? He announced this right here, right now, and they'll figure out, and they'll be able to do it, and they'll paint the picture, and you know whether it's the leaves falling off the tree on a windy day in the fall or whatever. Dick Enberg could have done anything, and he did. I mean, the guy was almost in a class by himself.
Well, absolutely. When you talk about all the different sports, Grant, I mean, just I know just a little bit of homework that I do to keep up with you. So I watch you and watch the things that you do. A guy like him that has the ability, and we're talking Olympics, we're talking big time. When you talk about the fumble with Denver and Cleveland, I mean, that is epic moments. And to be able to be in those moments and hold them and hold the crowd the way that he did, absolutely amazing.
You know, and then he hosted, what was it, the Sports Challenge show, which, you know, he had athletes on in Southern California, and it was a phenomenal game show. It was spectacular. It was like a sports quiz show, and I used to watch that all the time growing up. Used to watch it all the time. Dick Enberg, again, the Oh My signature, and it's...
Think about Southern California. Vince Scully.
Yep.
Chick Hearn.
Mm-hmm.
Dick Enberg. I mean, and then your guy from
Bob Miller, the LA Kings, 44 years.
Goodness gracious,
44
man.
Years doing the LA Kings.
I mean,
he just retired last year.
That is absolutely. I mean, that means that you grow up listening
to
somebody.
Well, of course, that's several generations.
Yes, exactly.
Think about that.
Right.
44 years old.
Yeah.
But if you're Vin Scully, you're doing the Dodgers for over 60 years. Now, think about that.
Vin brought him from Brooklyn,
yes.
Correct?
Oh, absolutely.
Come on. Grant,
right?
Come on, that's it. That's incredible. And to mention those names, and you say Dick is right in there with all of them.
He is.
No doubt.
You know, you could make the argument he's the greatest broadcaster of all time, and you would be able to say, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Because he did multiple sports.
Yes.
And see, here's what I love about Dick Enberg. All right, we could sit here and have a debate which was his best sport, and I'd have 30% of the audience tell me football.
Yep.
The other 30% would say baseball.
Then
college basketball, and all the great NCAA finals he did with Billy Packer and Al McGuire.
That's incredible.
Know? Think about Al McGuire, Billy Packer, and Dick Enberg. And when you saw those three on site at a college basketball game, you knew, oh boy,
okay.
You know, this is big, big, big time.
Absolutely, man. That is incredible. Just the ability to, when you look at him, Grant, and I'm looking at some of the images on here, and you can see whether it's in his whatever jacket he has on. He's sitting there with Vin Scully in one of them. But, man, to find him, obviously, the way that they did, my heart goes out to his family because but he lived an incredible life, and he painted so many beautiful pictures that will be with us. Luckily, we have all of this incredible footage.
Yep.
You know, we can hear him constantly forever. Because not to mention, as you're going to mention, that we have some people in studio with us. These young men are the type of young men that are going to listen to that and learn from that and take that knowledge just like you did. And you would tell, I'm listening to my transistor radio and all the different things.
Absolutely.
And it created someone now who's been in this business, Grant, for over 30 years and is beloved. So that's how it happens.
You would probably find a good number of professional broadcasters right now that would say the reason why they are doing what they're doing is because they grew up idolizing Dick Enberg, just the way I grew up idolizing Marv Albert, and that's why I'm in this business. I would not be a broadcaster had I grown up in a different part of the country. I honestly believe I would not have been a broadcaster had I not been able to listen to Marv call the 69 playoffs between the Knicks and the Bullets with Willis Reed, Wes Unseld, Walt Frazier, Earl of Pearl Monroe.
Wow.
And, you know, a lot of times the games weren't even on TV back then. And my dad and my brother and I would listen to the games on radio. And I'll tell you, I would have continued to listen to the games on radio even if I could have watched them on TV, because that's how great Marv Albert was.
Well, I'm glad that happened, because Illinois probably would have got a mortician, because you would have been at wasn't that the flower place there?
No, that's Bowling Green, Ohio.
Okay.
Klotz Flowers.
Yes, Klotz Flowers.
On East Wooster Street.
Exactly.
Yes.
So we're glad that you were listening.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Klotz Flowers might be out of business, actually. You know, because I wouldn't have been on the air hyping him every day at 6:45 in the morning.
Exactly. Yeah, everything happens for a reason. So, I'm Marv, wherever you're at, we appreciate
you. Well,
you,
we'll get to our guest a little bit later in the show. But here's the deal, boys. You do what you have to do to get in this business. And I was a morning disc jockey in Bowling Green, Ohio, when I got right out of college. And part of my responsibility was reading the funeral report brought to you by Klotz Flowers on East Worcester Street. No, I'm not kidding you. Hey, like, I'm not, like, I can't make that up.
When he told me this, you guys, for the first time,
but think
I
about
laughed
that.
Like
that's,
you are.
So that's 81, okay? And I still remember the street it was on, and yeah. Klotz Flowers.
Get out
so
of
Doug
town.
Didn't believe me, so we Googled it.
Yeah, we
and,
did.
And Klotz Flowers is still in business in Bowling Green, but they're not on East Worcester Street anymore.
No, they moved up. They after
that's
Nate
right.
left.
Well, actually, the reality is I put them out of business, and after I left Bowling Green, they after a couple of years, they were able to reestablish. They were like, that's the worst money we've ever spent on advertising in our entire life.
Oh, man. The stories, you guys, that Grant has, they're incredible to see kind of where he was at, how he came along, yep. You know, the football team making him call play-by-play on the bus.
Oh, my gosh.
To all the it's just – but it shows – so I translate that to basketball, growing up on the playgrounds and being out at night and playing in the rain. It's the same thing that you love and you're so passionate about something that's why it's so natural – when you listen to Grant, and that's awesome.
All right, so we talk about tennis, but let's listen to Dick Enberg. This was the 1999 U.S. Open. About that, huh?
Two things that strike me there, Grant. First of all, Payne Stewart. That was one of the last times mm-hmm. that he was ever mm-hmm. graced the golf course. But also, one of the first things that you taught me is sometimes you let it breathe.
Yep.
How about that? He said exactly what he needed to say. And he let us live in the moment.
Step on the moment.
That's one of the first lessons that I got from Grant. And so many times we're on air, and he said, if I put my hand up, don't think that I'm mad at you or something. It's just you got to let it breathe for a second and let the people feel what's going on. And when I hear stuff like that, I'm like, wow, you get to hear it instead of someone talking over the moment. Yeah, that's big-time stuff, Napes.
And then, you know, we talk about college basketball and – we have a clip from 1979, the Elite Eight, Michigan, Notre Dame. You know, again, you talk about being at all of the big events.
Yeah.
You know, it's like Jim Nance now.
Yeah.
You know, Jim Nance has gone from calling a Super Bowl, all right, to doing the Final Four, and then right from the Final Four, he goes to Augusta to do the Masters.
Get out of here.
All in a span of a couple months.
Yeah.
Going from February's Super Bowl on CBS to the Final Four in March or early April, right from there to Augusta.
That's incredible.
Right?
And the voice is what stays
that's
with
correct.
You, Grant. It rides the moment. And you learn so much when you listen to that. It's just it's incredible. And you know, to put it really frankly, Grant, some of the stuff, you don't realize that it was him until now we're looking back at it.
All right. We've got a lot to talk about. And, again, if it's something that – if you have a special moment – that you remember from Dick Enberg. Again, he and Merlin Olsen were such a phenomenal football duo for NBC. And again, Dick Enberg actually came in and, you know, replaced a legend himself in Kurt Gowdy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you think about NBC in the 60s, from the Heidi Bowl to, I mean, Kurt Gowdy was NBC. Kurt Gowdy was everything NBC. Kurt Gowdy was baseball NBC. Kurt Gowdy was football NBC. Kurt Gowdy was like, Kurt Gowdy was God to me growing up. Like, Kurt Gowdy was like, I mean, you know, and then Dick Enberg came along, and I don't mean this in a disparaging way. He almost made you forget about Kurt Gowdy.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's how great Dick Enberg was.
That is coming from you. That is big time stuff. And it's not a disrespectful thing, Grant. I think more than anything is all of a sudden, here's this young up-and-comer, and he lives up to the hype, and now we've watched him for, you know, 60-plus years or whatever it is. Incredible. When you think back like that, Kurt Gowdy, all these different names, Grant, what's that common thread that you think about when you look at these Dick Enbergs and, you know, all these different guys who you grew up watching some and listening to some at the same time?
You know, to me, I always remember this about Kurt Gowdy, and you have to understand during that era, you didn't have a choice of what to watch because there was really, only four channels to choose from.
Right.
You know, you
plug your TV into the wall.
You were watching ABC, you were watching NBC, or basically CBS, and then PBS. There wasn't, you didn't really have a choice. But I would say this, I remember about Kirk Gowdy and Aldi Rogatis. You would watch the game, even if the game was over at halftime, because you just had to hear Kurt and Aldi do the game. You know what I mean? Like, you would watch the game, even if the game was decided.
Yeah,
because they were so great.
That's
those there weren't a lot of announcers that you would say, well, I'm going to stick with a boring game just because of the announcers.
You know, it probably speaks to the fact that even though there were a limited amount of channels, Grant, those guys had to be ultra great because now there's so many different options that those guys were the most iconic of that particular time.
Kurt Gowdy was, when I was growing up, there was Jim McKay on ABC Wide World of Sports. Mm-hmm. All right, and Jim McKay was like, he was a household name in America for sports broadcasting, and especially the 1972 Olympics in Munich and the tragedy in which Jim McKay became the news anchor for ABC Network. And his. Based on the 19, he was there to cover the Olympics. He was the anchor for the 1972 Olympics in Munich, and when the terrorist action occurred, Jim McKay was the face and the voice of ABC around the clock. It wasn't like they sent the news anchor from it. No, that was Jim McKay, and Jim McKay did everything. Jim McKay was, again, such a legendary figure, and he was best known for his coverage of ABC's Wide World of Sports, which was, you watched ABC Wide World of Sports every Saturday, and you planned life around it.
Yes.
Okay?
The agony of defeat.
Right, and he was also, up until that point, he was the best Olympic anchor that we had ever seen.
Right.
And the Olympics were on ABC all the time, just like they're on NBC right now.
Right.
Okay? And the coverage of 1972 in the Olympics in Munich will go down when Jim McKay, before he passed, that was the greatest, and still to this day, for people in my generation, they consider that the greatest job of broadcasting in the history of television.
Wow.
That Jim McKay, who was a sportscaster,
yep,
who became the emotional eyes and ears of one of the most dark, sad days in many people's lives up to that point.
That is incredible.
It was awful. And Jim McKay was on the air around the clock throughout that whole thing. And I believe, and I'm sure we could bring it up in the back room and we can get it. His words, they're all gone. They're all gone. Wow. You know, when the Israeli athletes were murdered.
Yep.
And, I mean, it wasn't, and I can't remember who the news anchor at ABC was back then, but at CBS it was Walter Cronkite, okay? Mm-hmm. It wasn't Walter Cronkite on the air doing that. It was Jim McKay, okay? Like, Jim McKay was being watched by every single American, everyone. Okay?
Yeah.
And it wasn't the news. They didn't push Jim aside and go, hey, we got this covered now. Jim McKay didn't leave his seat.
Go with it.
In the anchor booth.
Wow.
From the 1972 Munich Olympics.
That is power.
It's truly to this day one of the most amazing in the tragedy is just.
Yeah, in the face of a tragedy.
It's just. Yeah. But Jim McKay was. You know what? It's like Al Michaels, when Al Michaels called the Olympics in 1980 and he had never really done hockey before.
Mm-hmm.
And do you believe in miracles, right? And when you think about Al Michaels, who's, I think we could say, maybe the greatest broadcaster in the history of broadcasting, okay? And if he's not, he's in the conversation.
Yep.
But here's a guy that really didn't know a lot about hockey, that had not done hockey, that prepared to do the USA team, which, by the way, no one had any expectations for at all in 1980. They weren't even supposed to make it anywhere near the medal round.
Right.
All right, and they were getting clobbered in the pre-Olympic games against Russia every time they played them. They were getting demolished. I mean, like 9-0, 10-0, and they Sweden would beat them. So, all right, Al, we want you to do hockey. All right, and you were thinking, okay, no one's going to be watching it,
right?
Because the USA is not going to win a game.
Yes.
All right, if they win a game, it will be, it's our college kids against the pros around the world.
Right.
And I don't know if I ever shared this story with you, but two of my friends from college, and I called Bowling Green Hockey, played on that team. Mark,
really?
Oh, yeah, Kenny Morrow and Mark Wells.
Okay.
And I, you know, knew them both very well. And I always share this story. When Kenny Morrow went right from the Olympics to the New York Islanders and went from winning a gold medal in Lake Placid to four consecutive Stanley Cups with the New York Islanders, okay? Kenny Morrow, number three.
Goodness.
And so here's the deal. Mark Wells came back to Bowling Green, right? And I was doing a Bowling Green hockey game on a Friday night. And
after he won.
After the Olympics. And Mark did not come back to go to school, but he came back to Bowling Green. And with the Bowling Green, Ohio now.
Yeah, I got you.
And so we requested to get Mark on in between periods to interview him.
Yeah.
He had two full sheriffs who had to escort him everywhere he went because in 1980, after the United States won the gold medal, they were like Neil Armstrong and the astronauts that walked on the moon.
Wow.
They were national heroes.
No
like
doubt.
They had to have they were not just like going back. They yeah. were heroes, and they had to have security and police around them everywhere they went. They were national treasures and heroes. And so when you think about Al Michaels, do you believe in miracles? To this day,
yeah.
one of the great lines in the history of sports
history,
broadcasting.
No doubt. No doubt. And when you think about it, even if you don't know hockey, you know that.
That's exactly right. And here's the other deal. Most of the people in this country in 1980 didn't follow hockey.
No.
But every single American was watching those two games against the Soviet Union and against Sweden to win the gold medal.
No doubt.
And most people don't realize that the gold medal was not won until they beat Sweden.
Right.
And they were trailing going into the third, and Herb Brooks with the most famous line, if you go out and lose this game, you'll take it to your graves.
Oof. I have things with me, Grant, that will go to my grave, so I understand
yep.
that.
All right, we'll be right back. This is Sports 1140 KHDK. All right, Grant Napier, Doug Christie. If you want to share any stories that you may have in this first hour about Dick Enberg, give us a call at 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. Again, 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. We've got a lot to talk about today. Obviously, a big NFL weekend. The Kings are in action tomorrow as they take on the San Antonio Spurs. And as we say, we got a couple of students here from Wood Creek High School. You know what? We'll put you here. Hit your little on mic button there, and then Connor, you can grab this mic here, and there should be a blue button there on, and then
yeah, you're live. That red button.
Yeah, and then yeah, you are good. So we have Tarek, who's a senior, and we've got Connor, who's a junior. Connor, let me share you the story. Connor sent me an email, you know, into broadcasting, and you know, was asking me a couple questions, and I said, well, why don't you just come down one day and come check out the show. So here
wow.
they are. So, guys, it's great to have you in studio.
Thank you very much for this opportunity. It means a lot.
Yeah. It's an honor.
Hey, well, you know what? It's great. I've always, and Doug's the same way, and Doug will tell you, and Doug and I have completely different backgrounds, but I would never have made it in this business if I didn't experience the things that you all are experiencing right now in your shoes when you reach out to people in the business and you want some advice. I did that with Marv Albert. I wrote him a letter when I was in junior high school, and he actually sent me a letter back. And I still have it to this day. It's on the Channel 4 WNBC News letterhead because he was a sports anchor at Channel 4 in New York. Mm-hmm. And I still have it. And
and
so it just means the world when you're able to, you know, meet. And I know that Doug's got people coming up to him all the time, you know, about, gee, you know, I've got a son or a daughter and they're in junior high school and they really want to play basketball. What recommendations can you give us?
Yeah,
you know?
It's the ability to pay it forward. I can remember Xavier McDaniel, who Grant knows well. I was in a Young Life group. It was a church group in Seattle. And he came and picked me up at my house. And I rode in the back seat down to a Sonics game. And those are the type of moments and interactions that help you to further. So this type of thing, you reaching out to Grant, first of all, having the cojones to reach out to Grant Napier, number one. And then Grant having the ability to reach back out and say, come in. These are, you know, some people won't come. Mm-hmm. They'll say, you know, I got something to do. But the fact that you guys come in, you're going to learn a lot, especially from somebody like Napes.
I mean, I personally threw a Hail Mary out there right when I sent out a little tweet saying, hey, I'm a broadcaster. Any way I can possibly get to ask some questions? I never expected at all to ever get a response back. I know you're super busy all the time with the radio show, King's Announcer.
Yeah.
When I saw that response, I literally jumped out of my bed. I ran to my parents. I'm like, look who just replied back. Look who just replied back.
Yeah. That's right. He reached out via Twitter, and I got back to him. I followed him. I put him on DM. I go, send me an email to this email address.
Yeah, and I spent like the next 3 days like trying to perfect that email, make sure there's like no grammar errors, making sure like I get straight to the point.
I'm glad you didn't go over my return email for grammatical errors. I'll tell you that. So how did you guys end up, like, all right, so let's start with you. You're a junior, and then we'll get to you, Tarek. So, Connor, how did you become interested in broadcasting? Why did you decide this is maybe something you want
to
do?
I actually started due to you and Jerry Reynolds, to be honest. After the first game I fully watched was the Kings versus Lakers, January 1st, 2010. Kobe Bryant hit the game-winning shot.
Was not Doug guarding game. Him? No, Doug was not on the team anymore. Okay.
It was Sergio Rodriguez.
I don't mean that in a disrespectful way. Doug was the best defender we've ever had. There are times when he couldn't even stop Kobe. So anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
And just watching that game, it got me more interested in watching Kings games, which resulted in me really becoming interested in how you and Jerry were such a great dynamic duo. I really loved the chemistry you had, how you could really keep fans entertained. Like, you kept me into all the games, no matter what the score was. And I started thinking, this is something I really would love to do. This is a passion that I'm starting to really... develop, and it just went on from there. And luckily, I was able to land like a little job working as a sport broadcaster with Tarek over here.
That's awesome. So, how'd you get interested, Tarek?
Well, I'd always loved sports as a kid, and I grew up, I'm a huge 49ers fan. I grew up watching a lot of old 49ers highlights from the 80s and 90s and early 2000s. When Joe Starkey was their announcer,
he
and
was great.
He, you know, what a bonanza! Like lines like those were just amazing. I loved like listening to him. And later on, like in the early 2010s, listening to Matt Vasgersian, such a unique voice. And then obviously you three, and you especially. I mean, just amazing hearing you three. You know, Jerry as well. It's really inspiring because, you know, I've looked at the list. You know, the top NBA. Duos or trios of announcers, and you guys are always in the top five. I think they should automatically put you at number one. That's just me. I've always loved just announcing, like the flow of the game, and hearing, you know, announcers as they go with the flow of the game. It's such an energy. I can't even imagine what a game would be without announcing happening or without announcers explaining it. Like, I think they had one Monday.
Well, they tried it, and it was a complete failure.
Monday night?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Oh, yeah. And then they called in, and they were like, what the heck?
Yeah.
It was just like, no, this is not happening. Not happening again.
So, not to pat you guys on the back, but you guys have already received national acclaim. Why don't you tell us what happened?
Well, so we run our broadcast on the NFHS Network for football and basketball.
And what does that stand for, if you don't mind me asking?
National Federation of
High School Sports.
High School Sports.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, don't ask me on that one.
But I mean, for people that don't know, I just wanted. Mm-hmm. So it's a high school sports.
Yeah, it's a group of the networks, like, you know, networks.
Okay.
So, they placed us in the top five announcing, one of the top five announcing teams in the entire country, because NFHS branches out to a ton of, like, hundreds to like
almost every high school,
almost
the majority.
Majority of high schools in the United States, and they put us in the top five finalists for best announcing team. We did not win number one, but they did place us in the top five.
You know what,
five.
That's congratulations. That's incredible.
Thank you.
First of all, you guys have a tremendous presence. You really do. You both have amazing presence for being a junior and senior in high school. So you're already, I was telling them when I met them a couple of moments ago, they're already ahead of the game.
No doubt. When I was, I couldn't speak 18 in front of people, microphones, not a chance.
No, most people can't.
Most people can't. And I can almost remember the time that it happened for me. I was in college, and Marv Dunphy, who's a U.S. volleyball coach, he called me and said, hey, I want you to come talk to my class. And I'm looking at him, Grant, I'm like, me? You want me to come speak to your class?
Right.
We're in college. Those are the moments, and you guys have already, you can see it. You good eye contact, the way you speak, the way you go about it. Congratulations, man.
Thank you so much. It's been something more of a, you pick up on the fly of how to be a little bit more professional, what you want to do. Like, I remember my first game that I did, it was Wood Creek versus Folsom, I'm going to say.
Yeah.
And I was at a loss for words at the majority of the time. Like, I knew what I wanted to say. I had the perfect idea, had it kind of set up. And just speaking into a microphone, knowing other people are hearing you, there's a little bit of a fear to begin with. And then you start to progressively get into it more.
Well, just so you guys know, you're being heard right now all the way down to the Monterey.
Peninsula, oh, my God.
No. The San Francisco Bay Area, all over Northern California. Oh, and we've got our following on the internet around the world. We've got our listeners in England. We've got
Chile.
Australia.
Ooh,
we got Chile with Eduardo.
Chile? Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, you know, just so you know, you're being heard right now.
Yeah.
and you guys are doing a great job too, by the way.
Yeah, it's really different because when I came in here the first time with Grant, you know, it was intimidating in and of itself. But the very first broadcast was down at Golden One, and Grant goes, "Hey, so I got to go talk to the referees. We got a meeting. So like the first 15 minutes, you're going to be by yourself." It is. The microphone, it almost looks like it's alive and it's staring at you when you sit here by yourself.
Yeah, I noticed that, yeah.
But after a while, you learn different tricks and things, and I don't want to call them tricks, but it's the ability to string it out and tell a story and paint a picture.
Well, and I always tell young broadcasters, I already told them when I met them, learn how to ad-lib in this business. Mm. And I think that there's just no substitute for learning how to, as you said, okay, I've done this before. You know, before Doug joined me, I mean, I was doing a four-hour show, and sometimes you're like, gosh, what am I going to say now? Because you covered everything, and you're like, well, you still have 5 minutes to talk, so you better keep on talking. And so you just have to learn how to, you know, put things together and tell a story on the air and get through to the next break. So, because sometimes you have to do that.
Yeah.
So we'll get back. It's great having you guys in studio.
Thank you. This is phenomenal. Thank you so much once again.
You know what? You guys are great. You guys are going to be.
Thanks so much.
Just don't take my job, okay? That's the only thing I ask.
Totally not our intention.
Or at least not for a while, okay? You can take my job in a couple of years. Well, like 20. Doug, can I go 20 more years doing the Kings?
Easy, 20. Come on. 20.
25.
Let's call. I was going to say 30, but I'm 25.
Come on.
30 minimum. No, minimum.
When you think of legendary announcers in this town, who comes to mind, Connor?
Vince Scully.
In this town,
Grant Napier.
Yeah, Grant Napier.
On top of that, Nate, you talk about science and different things. Well, there'll be like a hover wheelchair. We'll get you right in there, but you don't worry about it.
You don't like Kings basketball.
Yeah, exactly. Right, yeah, I know.
The only way I'm doing that is if you push me, okay?
I got you.
All right.
I have the button.
All right, we'll be right back. This is Sports 1140 KHDK. We're back with you, being entertained by our high school youngsters there from Wood Creek. So we got a Wood Creek Granite Bay game coming up in a couple weeks in January, I think. So
yeah, you know, I love Tarek and Connor. We're going to put the smack down, though, hopefully.
Yeah. Tarek, are you going to put the smack down? And Connor, you guys, you guys can put your mics back
on. We disagree with that.
I would beg to differ for that.
Yeah. Well, the only reason that I know that fact is because Mr. Jordan Brown, he is no longer attending.
We do not like to talk about that.
Okay, so moving on.
That was more kind of out of the blue for us. Just one day we turn around and find out he's not at our school.
Terrific player.
Yeah. Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
And pretty cool person to know on campus too.
What happened? I'm not familiar with the story.
I believe it was his father. Was that correct of what happened? But somebody wanted him going to a more private school, yes, a prestigious and prolific prep. It was a high school for Josh Jackson, Suns forward.
Yeah.
So it was kind of you go there to get the more national recognition.
Okay.
Yeah.
And there had been whispers he was going to go to Capital Christian, and we were all like, "Oh,
no, not to rival."
He has been doing well there, and I wish him the best. Mm-hmm. It is unfortunate. We still do have a lot of talent on the team this year. You know, Kyle Kern.
Chris Cagle, product.
Yeah. Yes.
You guys go ahead and name drop.
All right.
We're gonna get you. That's the.
We'll see. Yeah. We'll see.
I had a chance to work out with Jordan Brown actually, and met his father.
Wow.
Great guy.
That's awesome.
Met out with him, and Dougie got to work out with him. Great kid. Great young man.
All right, we've got a phone call or two to get to, so let's get to Tommy. Tommy, how are you?
How are you doing today, Grant? And Merry Christmas. To you and Doug and the two young broadcasters you in there, I wish them all the best.
Well, thank you. That's nice of you to say Merry Christmas to you, and we wish you a blessed holiday.
Yeah. I just want to comment real quick about Dick Enberg. I had a chance to meet him back in 1985. Him and Merlin Olsen did a Raiders-Chiefs game down in L.A., and I tell you, he was such a really, really very nice down-to-earth guy.
I've heard nothing but great things about Dick Enberg. And, Tommy, I really appreciate you hanging on as long as you did. Thank you very much, and have a great, great holiday, all right?
You're welcome, Grant. Thank you so much.
Thank you. So, Connor and Tarek, we got a couple more minutes, and then you guys can hang out and watch Doug and I because we've got some guests coming up at 4 o'clock. We got Andy Benoit, MMQB, and SI. So I'll start with you, Connor, because you're a junior. So I'll ask you, 5, 7, 8 years from now, where do you see yourself? What do you see yourself doing?
I see myself trying to get into the field of sport broadcasting, journalism, news reporting, anything in that major, because sports is a big passion for me. I've been playing baseball since I was four.
Wow.
I really just love any type of sport, and I feel that doing this wouldn't ever feel like a job to me. This would be something every single morning I'm waking up and I'm very happy to be doing.
How key is that, Doug?
Let me tell you, that is the key. Everything that you said, I heard, but that last thing, what they say, Grant, if you love what you do, you never work a day in your life.
That's right.
This, I would agree. First of all, working with a guy like Grant and getting schooled by Jerry and the G-Man and all those people, it's incredible. But the ability to talk about something that you're passionate about and that you love, it comes off. You hear it. You can hear when he says, and if you don't like that, and we have a dandy. And it just comes out. It's not scripted. And, man, that's keep that thing. That thing right there.
Always will be.
What about you, Tark?
Well, I would love to, very similar to Connor, I totally see myself working in the field trying to build your way up. Because you know you start relatively from the bottom, but that's something I wouldn't care too much about, because you know it's something, you know, like you said, you have a passion for it. You never feel like you have to work. It's something, you know, you do as like a real
paychecks aren't your biggest priority.
Exactly. Yeah. I do think
hell
I
w- with that.
Yeah.
No, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
As long as I can pay rent, I'm okay.
Yeah. Oh yeah. For sure. I would love to start after college or sometime after college in a minor league baseball.
Mm. Yeah, perfect.
I know that they're like Stockton Port, like California League,
sure.
Single A.
Yeah.
A lot of exciting baseball goes on. I mean,
no, it does. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Great young prospects. Great. Right through.
You get like the Nuts, the San Jose Giants. A lot of like great teams. A lot of great opportunities in Southern California. There, you're really close to LA, so you got a lot of studios down there.
Mm-hmm. You know what else? When you do a job like that, you don't end up just doing the play-by-play. You do sales. You do everything. Yeah. You really learn a lot. Yeah. About,
you become a bigger face of that franchise. Yeah.
Thank you. That's exactly right. You do, but you also learn a lot of people skills, because you're out not just doing the games, but you're doing three or four jobs. Because when I first got into this business, I was a morning DJ. I had my own sports show. I was doing play-by-play in the night. I mean, like, literally. And you said you just want to pay rent. That's all I was doing. I mean, literally. And but you didn't care. But no, and I really mean this. But you didn't care, because you were like, wow, I've got the greatest job in the world. And this was in Bowling Green, Ohio. If you love what you do, then it really doesn't. Your money, you don't really think about that if you're loving what you're doing.
One of my favorite stories about Grant is, because now the NBA it's taken on a life of its own. Yep. So you got all the different assistant coaches, and you got someone that does every single thing. Well, Grant, when he first got here, he was doing what he did, but the coach called him in and had him ref the practice.
Yeah, Dick Mona had me officiate practice.
Yeah. Wow.
So, you know, there's not a lot of assistant coaches. Hey, Grant, come here.
No.
And here's a whistle, and Grant proceeded not call against Spud Webb.
And Spud was a very good friend of mine, and Spud didn't talk to me for 3 weeks. And I'm like, Spud, it's practice. I'm like, you guys are like having an informal scrimmage. Hey, you fouled me. You didn't call the foul. Like, Spud.
Awesome.
We're talking about practice here.
Yeah. Still not as bad as 2002 practice. Game 6 Western Conference Finals.
Oh, boy.
The phone lines will light up now.
That's thank you for ruining our Christmas. I don't see a shiny, beautiful ring on Doug's hand from that year, and I would have had one too, not to be greedy.
Taking it from Rick Fox, man.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
that imprint would have had a ring on it too. Yeah. That would have been bad, huh, Grant?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I will say this. That is what I would speak for Grant. Do you want to get over that hump? Yeah, you do. But that's what builds up this incredible fan base that is the Kings. That's what builds up the passion that you hear in the voices of the announcers and the different people, and that you hear in me. You want to see that parade go down in front of Capitol Mall and those type of things. Yep. So you don't get that elation without those heartbreaks at the same time.
Guys, I got to tell you, we're going to take a break because we've got a guest coming on. But I'm so happy that you're here today.
Thank you very much.
You guys are well ahead of the curve right now. Like, you sound like professional broadcasters, and I wouldn't say that. I would say it's something differently. But you guys, there's no doubt you guys are going to make it. You just work hard, keep it to the grind, and you're going to do fine. You're way ahead of the game.
Thank you so much.
All right, we'll have them hang out in studio and continue to ask us questions during the commercials. Andy Benoit, MMQB, and SI next.